All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you doing this. I'm going to talk with you for a few moments before we have a little exercise that I'm going to have you participate. This will be kind of an interactive sermon today, which is good because it's cold, and the more we move, the warmer we stay. And hopefully this kind of interaction, too, will continue to improve our relationships with one another and our knowledge of one another. So that's also why I'm doing it. After Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus was either driven or went off, however you want to describe it, or however the gospel writers want to describe it, into the wilderness, where he spent 40 days asking himself what it means to be Jesus the Christ. And during Lent, during this time of Lent, Christians like ourselves are supposed to be asking the same question of ourselves. Who am I as God has created me to be? What is my purpose? Who am I? What are the gifts that God has given me, and so forth? And I think temptation is one of those things that we have a hard time talking about, honestly, in church, because the conversation either tends to go in one of two less than helpful ways when we talk about temptation. Either we take a cultural cue from everything around us and move immediately to those wonderfully racy conversations where we talk about sex or power or drugs or rock and roll or whatever folks find as most provocative today to talk about. Or the other direction we tend to move in is to, in a more generalized way, speaking about temptation in huge, broad, moralistic terms that has nothing really whatsoever to do with us in any meaningful way. So when we look at the temptation stories in all three of the Gospels of Jesus, we see how the tempter uses very concrete and very specific temptations that all revolve around the same dynamic. And that is, he's trying to sow mistrust, the seeds of mistrust. You're hungry? Why not just do the one thing this moment for yourself? Nobody else will know. Who could it possibly hurt? Feed yourself. Turn these stones into bread. You know, you're not going to have enough in this life unless you secure your own future. And God, well, God's a great concept, but in reality, is God truly trustworthy with your future, much less with your very lives? Those are the kinds of seeds that the devil is trying to sow in each and every person. And in each case, Jesus replies with scripture. And over the years, a lot of us preachers have used this to show people how important it is to know their Bibles, which it is. I think it is. And I'm all in favor of having a very literate congregation. But I wonder, really, if that's why Jesus quotes scripture. Because I think the reason that he quotes scripture is not so much to deflect the temptation as it is for scripture to give voice to his trust in God. In other words, when Jesus uses scripture, he's not saying something just to combat the devil. He's talking from a place of, this is what I believe and want to believe about God. Because at the heart of each reply to the devil is Jesus's absolute trust in and utter dependence on God for who he is that moment and who he is to be into the future. And you'll remember that many people, including his own disciples, try and help define who Jesus is for him. That's why Christ answers, or when Christ asks three separate times, who do men say that I am? Peter gets it wrong in every instance that he's asked this question, right? He's trying to define for Jesus how it will turn out. But that is a temptation that is coming to him from another place, not from God. So Lent is this time when we focus on ourselves in a very intentional way. And I would like to lift up for you a crucial link that comes to us between trust and temptation. To the degree that we trust in God for our daily needs, as we say our Lord's Prayer every year, every day, for our sense of purpose and for our identity as a child of God, the temptations of this world have very little allure, really, to that degree that we trust God. To the degree that we don't, the degree that we allow our natural insecurities to lead us to mistrust, we open up the possibility and the appeal and the temptation so that we are very pliable and very, very open to being tempted into ways that sow in us mistrust. It's the biggest thing we have to deal with, is this issue basically between trust and mistrust. But that's not enough just to say all of that. For just saying that can just make us feel worse. In other words, to point out sins and to confess our sins without any kind of real honest assessment of who we are can just lead to more guilt. And that's not what we're here to do either. So what I want you to do is I want you to take those 3x5 cards that I've given you, and I want you to write down on one side of the card something that is important to you, which you feel confident in. In other words, it could be your job, it could be your marriage, it could be your family, it could be whatever. Maybe it's, you know, none of those, but it's something else, or your health, for example. Something that you have a natural trust for, because that's what you have a natural trust in God for. Those things are not given, by the way, your job, your family, your health, none of that. But some of us, nonetheless, trust that that's going to be okay, and we don't worry about those things. You trust God, in essence, with them. So I want you to label on that one side of the card those things that you find it easy to trust God in your life, in practical ways, and write trust on that side of the card. All right? So take a few moments to do that. You guys did a great job. I could hear the buzz from up here all around. Did you find while you were talking to one another things that you had in common in terms of trust or mistrust? Were there lots of things that you found yourself identifying with the other person going, oh yeah, I struggle with that too? Yeah? All right, good. The reason that I have us doing this exercise is because one of the things temptation does is it comes to us when we're isolated. It comes when we're alone. And the way we can break the power of temptation is to share it, is to be in a community like the church where we can share what we struggle with. And by doing that, it diffuses the power of temptation by doing just what you were doing. So it's a great exercise in that sense. Now I want you to do this with those cards. Either keep the card through Lent, make this your Lent practice if you want to, put it someplace where you'll see it every day and be reminded of it, of those things that you mistrust especially, and I want you to practice articulating those things out loud to your spouse or to somebody you feel comfortable with during the course of Lent, and seeing if that doesn't flip into the column of trust, all right? Because I think that what mistrust is bound out of it is experience, right? And if you've had experiences where you've learned to mistrust, we need to create new experiences where we learn to trust in those very same things. So that's one thing you can do with the card. The other thing you can do with the card, if you would like to do, and that is you can put it into the offering plate, and we'll lift it up at prayer time as a prayer for all of us to use. And you don't have to put your names on the cards if you do this. Just, you know, the things you're struggling with, and we'll lift those up throughout the course of the Sundays in Lent and pray for those, because that's another powerful tool that we have at our disposal as Christians, is the power of prayer. And it reminds us that we're not alone too, even when we're by ourselves. So that's what I'd like you to do. To hear yourself answer these kinds of questions is to begin to hear something not only of who you are, for yourself to hear who you're becoming, but also maybe to find out what it is you need to work on that you're not becoming, that you would like to become, you know, in terms of trust. Lent can be a very hard time for all of us. If we're honest in our personal reflections, it's hard to trust in God sometimes, especially with the unknown, the future. But Lent is a time also of great growth. It begins with ashes and a sense of frailty and failings, but remember it ends with Easter and the promise of new life. Our God is not here to punish us. Our God is not here to tell us we're bad people. Our God is here to liberate us from what the tempter wants to hold us and bind us with. Trust is at the heart of our relationship with God and with one another. And when we lack trust, we then begin to bicker and we begin to disagree with one another. But when we trust, we go, you know, I believe that because I heard it from Kirk, or I believe that because I heard it from Nate, or I believe that because I heard it from Renee. And that's where the community of faith comes in, where we begin to trust each other. It's not always easy, and trust is missing sometimes and just waiting to pounce on us, you know, when we're most vulnerable. So I want you to use Lent as a conscious time to think about those things again that you mistrust, that you would like to learn more how to trust and to articulate this. For this reason, I think we need the support of one another as we go forward in this season of Lent, and also as we go forward into the season of the church year, so that we move from a feeling of scarcity and fear to a feeling of abundance and joy. And that is my hope for us, that by the time we arrive at Easter, there will be a full-fledged sense of joy here in our midst. Amen.